Welcome again to our study in the book of Isaiah, and we're in the New Testament of Isaiah, which begins at chapter 40, and the book of Isaiah is divided, as the Bible is, into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the New Testament starts with those words, "Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people," and then we're introduced to the voice of one crying in the wilderness, who is John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist preceded, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepared the way. And after that introduction, if I could say this, of John the Baptist speaking prophetically, you know, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now we are starting to get glimpses and understandings of the life of Christ seen prophetically through the eyes of Isaiah. And we're going to see outstanding things. We are in chapter 50. And we are going to look at verse 4. Now remember, all these prophecies were given about 800 years before Christ was born. And yet they present so poignantly and in such detail the life and passion of our Lord. In verse 4, it says, "The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned." It is so beautiful, as we saw in chapter 49, how the word of the Lord was in the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ as a sharp two-edged sword which divides the soul, the emotions from the spirit. But here it's speaking of that tongue as being one of the learned, and that I should know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary. You know, what a wonderful thing it is to picture the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, on our weary pilgrimage, coming to us from time to time, giving us just that word that encourages us, that word of comfort. You know, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, but He's called actually another Comforter. You see, God the Father is the God of all comfort, but the Lord Jesus Christ also is our Comforter. And here we see, if I could say this, the manifestation of that Comforter, having in His tongue the word in due season for us. And so we saw Him, obviously, you know, when He was upon earth, how He would encourage people. And then, in His resurrected form, He stood by the Apostle Paul in all his sufferings and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. You know, you must appear before Caesar and testify." And yet, He does the very same thing to us. We may not see Him, but we feel His presence, and His word enters into our heart. Word encouragement, word of joy, word of peace in our weary, if I could say this, sometimes pilgrimage upon earth. It is to the weary. And then He wakeneth me morning by morning, and He wakeneth me mine ear to hear as a learned. You know, it's one of the things that characterized the Lord Jesus Christ. He heard the word of God in His ear, morning by morning, and He was aware of what the day would hold for Him and what He must do that day to fulfill the word of God. For all His days had been carefully prepared by the loving Father, and He was to walk, guided by the Spirit, to fulfill those needs. And, for example, on this sort of comfort, you know, there was Samaria, that land between Jerusalem, Judea, and Galilee, where His home was, and about 70% of His miracles and His teachings were carried on there. But you know, the Jews avoided Samaria. But He said on one occasion, it's necessary that I pass through Samaria. Why? Because he had to encounter a certain woman at the well, and he had to speak to her as she was laboring, you know, pulling up this water, 120 feet that Jacob's well is. She had to pull up that water and fill up her containers with that water. And there he was, that weary woman, laboring in the midday sun, hauling that water. He said, you know, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask of him, and he would give you water that springeth up into everlasting life. Water whereby you would never thirst again. You see, he had to encourage the weary. Well, he then said, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Here, we're going to be introduced to some of the sufferings of Christ. And the Lord made it very clear to him. You know that in the Old Testament, there were all these sufferings that he had to go through, clearly enunciated. And so his ear was opened, and, you know, God would speak to him and tell him, now these are the things that have to be fulfilled. You have to fulfill the Old Testament scripture that was written of you, because you are indeed the Lamb of God. And so he was not rebellious. And look at some of these things that he had to go through. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters. I gave my back to the smiters. You know, in the Psalms, it speaks of those who plowed deeply, deep furrows upon his back. And God said, that is necessary in order that I can heal my people. You have to suffer those stripes on your back, your bleeding back, so that I might heal. You know, Christ always retained his free will. And God the Father revealed this to him, and he willingly gave his back to the smiters, so that by his grace we might receive healing. Well then, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. You know, Christ wore a beard. And, you know, whilst he was undergoing all this torture and blindfolded, they were plucking out the hair on his cheeks, so that his face was just a bloody mess. You know, skin hanging down. And he was marred like no other man. But he gave his cheeks to the smiters and those who plucked off the hair of his cheeks. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You know, there are times when we'd like to avoid confrontations. There are times when we like to take the easy way. But I remember one time, many years ago, that my wife and I had to travel from one place to another. And in so doing, we would have to pass through, if we took the straight route, through a city where we had adversaries in a certain church. And I thought, well, we will take a circuitous route and avoid that. Well, 3 o'clock one morning, I was woken up, and I felt, you know, the pulling of the Holy Spirit. And I went into the other room and knelt by a chair there, and God gave me a revelation of himself, his face as a flint. There it is, for the Lord God was help me, and I shall not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You see, Christ was aware that he would have to give his face with his hair plucked off, and he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to the place where he would be crucified. And I saw his face, so determined to go to Jerusalem and there to have his hair torn off, you know, there to be put to shame. The Lord said, you're to go through that city, you're to go to that church. And I knew the person who was going to, shall I say, verbally spit and verbally tear off the hair of my cheeks. And so I said to my wife, well, dear, we'll have to go through this. But what we'll do, we will go to the and sit on the end row, and as soon as that service is over, we'll go out. Well, I had it well planned, but the person who was my antagonist had it better planned. It was a lady, actually, and a pastor's wife, really. And as I turned to go out, as the last hymn was being sung, she was there. And I tell you, she flayed me with her tongue, and it was as though I felt my cheeks, you know, being ripped almost by her hands, although she didn't touch me. But there you are, sometimes we have to give ourselves to the offences of others and let them say all kinds of things against us without, as Christ did, opening one's mouth. So these things are very real. You know, we're not to look at them just as the sufferings of Christ, but we're to realise what Paul said, that we are to indeed enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, as we go on, he said, the Lord shall be with me. He will help me. And who is he that shall condemn me? You know, it's very interesting, this next thought, and it's very important indeed. He said, they all shall wax old, and the moth shall eat them up. They shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. You know, one of the things that God has spoken to me so often, he said, look, you have your enemies, but when they've done their work that I've intended to do in you, and he said, you look for them, they'll grow old, they'll disappear. You know, at one time I had a group of people that were really very animistic against me, and I thought, oh Lord, when is this going to finish? But I found that after a time, when it seemed as though God had enabled me to triumph amongst all their animosity, what happened? God gave me a dream and showed me them dying. And of a truth, you know, one died quite unexpectedly. Another came to me a few years afterwards and said, look, I've got cancer. Can you forgive me? God has said to me that unless you forgive me, I cannot go to heaven. Oh, I said, it's easy. I'll forgive you. He said, how can you? I said, well, I've forgotten what you did. You see, you mustn't hold these things. You know, last night I had a phone call, and it was a lady pastor talking to me about another lady pastor who meant so much to her. And this lady pastor was apparently talking to this other pastor's wife and saying, you know, my husband and I, we went through this, and this. You'd be amazed at what people did to us. And she just laughed and laughed and laughed. She had the victory over all those sufferings that people had caused her. And we want to be like that too. We want to have joy. We want to forget what they've done. As long as the work has been done in us, we can then rejoice. We can then rejoice. But we must set our faces aflint. We mustn't hold back, you see. Well, who is among you that feareth the Lord? Now, here we're going to enter into verses 10 and 11. A very important, if I could say this, truth. And it says, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? You know, we say, look, what is that? You know, here we are obeying the Lord, seeking to do everything that the Lord wants us to do. And yet we're in darkness, we cannot see where we're going. We have no light. And surely we must be wrong. Well, you know, Job's friends, his comforters, said the same thing. Look, Job, you're suffering. You must be wrong. You must be wrong. But not necessarily. Look what it says. It says this. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. See? And then it says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with the sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now then, this is a very important truth, a truth that we cannot ignore, a truth that, you know, we must understand and must, like a seed, go down into our hearts, take root down to bring forth the fruit up. There will be times in our life when we're seeking to do everything that we can to please the Lord and to walk in obedience to God's holy word. And then we find ourselves in darkness and we don't know which end is up. You know the tendency of so many, as it was with Abraham, is to strike one's own light. I say Abraham, that godly father of us all. But you know, he was in darkness. God had promised him a son, and there was no son that materialized. And Sarah said, well, look, take Hagar, and have a son through her. And Abraham, if I could say this, kindled his own light. And result was he had Ishmael. Well, sorrow has ensued through the followers and descendants of Ishmael ever since. You see, he struck his own light. But, you know, I have known people who are in darkness and in difficulty, and they say, you know, this cannot be the will of God. I will get out of this darkness. I will do this, or I will do this, you know, to get out of the situation I'm in. And I've had people who say, I am not called to suffer like this. I am going to do something myself and get myself out. I'm a man. I've got a family. I've got children. I'm going to get out of this mess. You know what happens? They do get out of that mess. But you know, that darkness, that difficulty, that quagmire, if I could say that, that pit in which they were in, they've got out by their own methods. They pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, if I could say that. But what has happened? Well, God says, will you do that? And this shall ye have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. And the result is those people have missed God's will, and great sorrow has entered into their life. How important it is just to trust God in darkness and let him bring us out, say, of a horrible pit, so that our feet may be established again in the ways of righteousness. Well, in verse 51 it continues along the same line, and he says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness. And God is speaking to us who are seeking to do his will. He said, hearken unto me, ye that, you know, follow after righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord. You know, what could be more than that? Following after righteousness, obedient to the Lord, seeking the Lord. He said, look from whence I have brought you. And sometimes it's good to look back on life and see where God has brought us from. And he said, from the hole, or the pit, whence ye are digged, look unto Abraham, and look unto Sarah, I called him alone, blessed him, and increased him. And then he goes on to say, now look, the times when Abraham and Sarah were all alone. But in the end, I did come, and I did comfort them. And so he gives a similar promise for us. He says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He shall comfort all her waste places and make her wildernesses like the Garden of Eden. You know, there were times in my life of my wife, myself, when we had absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Do you know, at one time we had to walk along the streets and pray and say, oh God, may we find a dime, 10 cents, on the ground. May we find that so that we can have a cup of coffee. And we did. And yet during that time of difficulty and deprivation and darkness, trial and tribulation, and hunger, you know, God spoke to us. He said, you'll travel the world many, many times. And he said, you'll have enough to give to others. And that has come to pass. We support many missionaries. But there you are, you see. God does comfort us. He makes our derelict places like the Garden of Eden so beautiful. Fills us with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We have such holy contentment, such joy. And then he says, hearken unto me, my people, give ear unto me, for a law shall proceed from my mouth, and I will make judgment to rest as a light to the people. My righteousness is near, in my arm shall they trust. The heavens shall vanish away, the earth shall wax old like a garment, but my righteousness shall not disappear. You know, when we consider what is lying ahead of us, the dark days that lie ahead, there's first, of course, a great revival in the church when God's glory shall be manifested. But then, in the end, you know, the Apostle Peter says in his epistles that the heavens and the earth shall disappear in fire. Likewise does the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. He speaks of the times that lie ahead, times when God will cause even the heaven and the earth to disappear. But one thing shall not disappear, and that is those who trust in his righteousness. His arm will preserve us, and in heaven above we shall dwell throughout all eternity with him. And so I want to encourage you, you know. He said, and those, you know, that have forsaken me. You know, so often we are in this picture in verse 7. You know, that we are afraid of the reproach of men and their revilings. And he says concerning them, why are you afraid of them? Why don't you look unto me, who has made heaven and earth, and made it with purpose, and created you with purpose? Why are you afraid of man? He repeats this. You know, and the fear of man is a snare, and it's something that we have to overcome. And why are we afraid of man? Excuse me. Why are we afraid of man? And God gives a reason. He said, because you have forgotten the Lord your God, who stretcheth out the heavens and hath made the earth. You know, as we look at man, who will disappear, he will wax old as a garment, the moth will eat him up, the worms will eat him in the ground. And the point that God is saying is this, why are you afraid of man and what man will do unto you? No, He said, the reason you're afraid is you've forgotten me, the Lord, who lays out the heaven and the earth. And so David said, at what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You see, they're all controlled by God. They cannot do anything that God permits. And Job had to learn that. Satan could only afflict him to the degree that God permitted. And if you're going through a trial and you've got people against you, I want to say to you, don't be afraid of them. They're all in the hand of God anyway. And they can't do anything more to you than God permits. But what they do to you will be for your good, and you'll come out triumphantly. And so I want to encourage you, as we close again, to contemplate the greatness of God, His righteousness, and although we might feel alone and in a derelict position, there's going to time come when God will transform the situation we're in and we'll be like them that dream. As God brings us out of our trouble, the people that have opposed us will disappear and we will be, as it says in the Psalms, our mouth filled with laughter, and we'll have a new song in our hearts. So be encouraged. Don't fear what you're going through. If you're going through darkness, don't make your own light. But trust in the Lord, for He will bring you out, and He will comfort you. And you will rejoice greatly in your God as you trust Him completely. God bless.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship in Waverly, New York. The teachings you just heard by Dr. Bailey are based on his commentary of the book of Isaiah. If you are interested in becoming a partner with us, or in studying more on this subject, or to receive a video of today's teachings, you may contact us at the number shown on your screen. Remember today that God loves you and desires for you to experience the wonderful words of grace and mercy that we have looked at in this book. Go today in the peace and joy of our Lord Jesus Christ.